Begin in First Thessalonians chapter 5 this evening. I'm going to go ahead and be turning there. Appreciate Mark for his prayer on my behalf. It's always good to have your prayers and encouragement. We're certainly thankful for that. In First Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul there is giving instructions to the brethren. Let's notice beginning in verse 16. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I want us to think about, and I sometimes wonder as God's children, do we really fully appreciate all that God does for us each and every day? Do we really fully understand all He does for us, all the blessings that He pours out to us on a daily basis? I know at times I'm guilty of grumbling and complaining and really over nothing, maybe a physical ailment or something that's going on at my job. Perhaps I get stuck in too many red lights on the way to work and it causes me to grumble and complain. But really when we sit down and put things in perspective and we consider the blessings that God has granted us, both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm, and we consider those things, really put those things in perspective, we can quickly realize that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we always have something to be thankful for, don't we? There's always something that we can find to be thankful for. And that's what I want us to look at this evening, the importance of gratitude, the importance of giving thanks, the importance of being thankful, especially to God. It's a simple lesson, yet it's something that God requires of us. We notice in verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." Being thankful to God is not only a good idea, but it's His will for us. It's a requirement that God has for us, the requirement of being thankful. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. Here we notice Paul's words given by inspiration to the brethren there at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We see a pattern here, don't we? Notice it says, "Giving thanks to God always for all things." For temporal things, for material things. For the very beings that we have, for the very breath that we live, that we breathe, for God, the sustenance that He provides on a daily basis, the food that we eat, our homes, everything we can attribute to God, His mercy, and so on. And we'll look at some more as we go through this lesson. But the point being that every good blessing that we get to enjoy, that can be attributed to God. And even when times are tough, even when we're down, distressed, whatever, we need to count our blessings and be thankful. It doesn't matter what situation we find ourselves in sickness or financial woes, in times of persecution, whatever may be the case, we always have something we can express our gratitude to God for. When you look in Philippians, especially in the fourth chapter, this is kind of the thought there expressed by Paul. And we keep in mind the situation here as Paul was writing these words to the brethren at Philippi. If you look back in chapter 1, verse 7 for just a second, you know, notice he refers there to his bonds or his chains. In verse 13, he again refers to his bonds or his chains in Christ. Look down at verse 14. "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." So it becomes apparent that at the time Paul wrote this letter, that he was under imprisonment. For his defense of the gospel. Many scholars believe he was in prison at Rome at this time. We're not exactly sure on that. But it does become apparent that this for most people would have been a time of distress. It would have been a time of darkness, a time of despair. And yet that's not what we see in Paul, not only in Philippians, but in other places as well. But I want us to notice particularly in Philippians chapter 4 what we see in Paul. We see here a man who is rejoicing. We see a man who is thankful. And we see a man who is content. In whatever situation Paul found himself in, he learned to be content. We're going to notice that in just a second. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." So Paul here, again, expresses his thanks for the church there at Philippi, for the aid that they had sent to him. Look at verse 18. It says, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." So the brethren there had sent Paul this aid when he was in distress, when he was imprisoned. And Paul here takes the time, despite his situation, he takes the time to sit down and to thank his brethren, to express his gratitude. It's a good example for us to follow. Here at Mill Street, we're very fortunate to have brothers and sisters here that show care, that show concern for those in need. I know when we announced that Mitzi's mother was going to be battling cancer, there was a tremendous outpour of care and concern, people asking if they could do anything, offering words of encouragement, especially to Mitzi. And I know that her and I are extremely appreciative of that. We're thankful for our brothers and sisters, not only in that situation, but many other situations we've faced. But we need to take the time to make sure that we express the gratitude that's within us, that we outwardly express that to our brothers and sisters, that we express thanks. Perhaps it's just a word of thanks, a thank you. Could be a thank you card, whatever may be the case. We need to take the time to do that. But there's more here in Philippians 4 that we can learn from Paul. In verses 11 and 12, we see Paul, again, a man despite his situation who was very content in whatever situation he found himself in. You think about what Paul had been through. He'd been in prison. He had been beaten. He had been shipwrecked. And yet through all of that, he learned to be content. How did he do that? Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It was Paul's faith in Christ that allowed him to be content. It was through realizing the purpose that he was there for, that he could be content, that he could be confident in God. We remember Christ's words in Matthew 6:33, "To seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." That was the attitude that Paul had, that despite whether he was in poverty or beating, or whether he was in a time of prosperity, he knew that God was going to meet his needs, whether that meant physically or even in death. He knew that his needs would be met and he would receive a much greater blessing in that. Look back at chapter 1 and verse 21. He says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Either way, Paul was content, wasn't he? If it meant staying here on earth and suffering whatever he had to suffer in order to spread the gospel, in order to strengthen the saints, if it meant doing that, he was content. If it meant him dying, he was content in that. He had the eternal home with Christ to look forward to. But the point being, his faith and his contentment led to thankfulness for whatever situation that he found himself in. He was thankful to God. Back at Philippians 4 again. Verse 6, he said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Again, Paul urges his brethren to be anxious for nothing. In other words, not to worry, but simply go to God in prayer and ask of Him what you will for help, for supplication. And again, to be confident that God would meet those needs. Paul says, again, in everything. See that pattern? In everything, in all things. Be thankful. Go to God in prayer and ask Him in all things. And then be confident that He hears our requests. Paul, of course, is writing by inspiration, and he's also writing from experience, from those things that he had suffered in the past. He had experienced the love and mercy that God has for His children. It was something that Paul had learned. He had learned to trust in God in all things. He had learned the peace that comes from that in verse 7. There's a peace that comes from that, from casting his cares on God through prayer. Another thing I want us to notice in verse 6 there is Paul says to carry everything to God in prayer with thanksgiving. God wants our thanks. And more than His want for that, He deserves our thanks. God deserves our gratitude. It's what we saw in the Scripture reading when you look back at Luke chapter 17. In that account of Jesus there and the 10 lepers. We'll not reread that for time's sake, but the point being that it says that all 10 lepers were healed from this awful disease. They all were cleansed. But don't you think every one of those lepers would probably be pretty happy, right? I don't think there was any one of them that was going to be disappointed in being healed from that awful disease. Of course they weren't. They were certainly all happy that happened. But yet only one came back to say thank you. Verses 15 and 16 says the one that came back, he returned, he fell down on his face at the feet of the Lord and gave thanks. An example for us. What happened to the other nine? I don't know. But the point here Jesus makes in verses 17 and 18 is that in this matter and in all of God's blessings, it's that God deserves the glory. God deserves to be honored. He deserves our thanks. He deserves our gratitude. Strong says the word glorify means to praise, to extol, to magnify, to celebrate, to honor, to impart glory to something, to render it excellent, to cause the dignity and worth of some person or thing to become manifest and acknowledged. We owe that to God. He deserves that. He needs it. He desires it to be honored and acknowledged. To be praised for these great things that He does. We simply need to remember to say thank you. How many times have we gone to God in prayer? And I know I've done this as well. We go to God in prayer. We cast our cares and our wants upon Him. How many times has He seen to it to answer those prayers? But then how many times do we actually go back and say thank you? It's easy to forget, but it's important that we begin to remember to go back and tell Him how much we appreciate what He does for us and not failing to do that. We'll look at the end of this lesson at some examples of some people that did just that, even to the point where they failed to acknowledge Him at all. They actually forgot God. Again, we don't need to get into the habit of taking credit for these things that happened. We don't need to take the credit for ourselves. Again, God wants our thanks. He deserves our thanks. Several verses that tell us that God desires our gratitude. There's too many. We went through every one of them that we could find. There's far too many to mention here tonight, but I would like to look at a few of them. You look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, "Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Again, God wants our appreciation. The sacrifice, the continual offering of praise, giving thanks to His name. Let's look at a few in Psalms. Psalms 50 and 14. Psalms 50 and 14. It says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. 95 and verse 2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God. Let's look at one more, 100 in verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. God desires our thanks, and He deserves our gratitude. There are several reasons. Again, too many to mention here tonight. There are several reasons why we need to be express our gratitude to God, and the reasons why He deserves that. Look at James chapter 1. James 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There's not a good gift or a blessing, as we mentioned earlier. There's no good gift, no blessing that we've ever enjoyed or that we ever will enjoy that didn't come from God, that we can't attribute to God for our homes, for our jobs, for our the sun that shines, for the rain that falls and makes things grow, all the way to the greatest blessing, the hope of eternal life that we have through His Son, through the sacrifice of His Son. We can attribute all those things to God. Every good gift that we get to enjoy comes from God. They're made possible because of Him. Again, Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Give thanks always for all things. All things. Again, I submit to you that we always have a reason to be thankful, even in sickness, even facing physical death. We always have something to be thankful for. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Again, these gifts that God bestows upon us. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm thankful for that gift. If we can be thankful for nothing else, we ought to be thankful for that. And it doesn't matter, again, what we're going through. That's something we can always be thankful for, something that we should always be thankful for. And we need to express that to God. Look back in Psalms. Psalms mentions we are to be thankful for His benefits. It uses the word benefits there. Look back in Psalm 68. Verse 19. It said, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Look at 116 and verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Again, God bestows these benefits or these blessings. And with our lives and with our lips, we can express our gratitude back to God for these things, giving Him thanksgiving. When you look back up in verse 3, you see what the writer here was going through. He had petitioned God, beginning in verse 3, for help. It says, the pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Again, we see the distress here that the writer was in. We see his petition there before God. And we see his thanksgiving in his words, and then by pledging this life of servitude, this life of obedience to God because of these great blessings that God had bestowed on him. It's a good example for us. And we'll look at that again a little more towards the end of the lesson, the idea that expressing our thanks and gratitude doesn't just mean saying thank you. It's much more than that. It's something that has to do with the way we live our lives. We'll look at that more in just a second. Another point we want to make is that no person that has ever breathed a breath can say that they have not experienced God's blessings. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Just mention this briefly. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. It says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Look at Romans 1 for just a second. Romans 1 and verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse for anyone that has ever taken a breath not to give thanks to God. His blessings are evident. They're made evident each and every day to everyone. And so there's no excuse for not expressing our thanksgiving back to Him. Another point I want to make is, what about times when it seems like God is providing discipline to us? That God is chastising us. What about during these times? Can we still be thankful during times of discipline? Look back at Psalms 118. Psalm 118, verses 18 and 19, we see that we can indeed be thankful even when God disciplines us. 118, verses 18 and 19 says, the Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. Again, the psalmist here was thankful for this discipline that he had received, and he had the desire to praise God for that. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 11. It says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Again, God shows his love for us even in this chastening or even in this discipline that he provides. Again, we have to consider the purpose of it. It's because he loves us. It's because he doesn't want to see us fall into a life of unrighteousness. He doesn't want to see us fall and remain in a life of sin. And therefore, he provides this discipline with the purpose of leading us back to a life of righteousness. Back to a life that is in full obedience to him and his word. And we understand that's the only way to eternal life is through total obedience to God. Separate and apart from that, we're not going to be with him in heaven. And so we need to be appreciative. We need to be thankful. Even in times of discipline, we can look back. I know I can look back at the times that my parents provided discipline to me. I can recall how unpleasant that was. I can probably recall some pretty bad thoughts I had at the time. But I look back now and I'm so appreciative for the parents that I had, for the love that they showed me. Looking back now at the purpose of why they did those things. It was for my own good, to keep me out of trouble, to keep me on the right path. It's the same idea when we consider the relationship we have with God. And we need to thank Him for His love, for His blessings. And we need to thank Him for His discipline. Again, these are just a few reasons we should be thankful. The list could go on and on. There are countless reasons we should be thankful. In times of prosperity, in times of distress, even in times of discipline, we need to consider and remember God's blessings. We need to remember what His will for every man is. We look at John 3:16. His will for us is that every man would come to that knowledge and obey the gospel. When we consider that, we consider His mercy and His love, His long suffering. Things again, we need to be thankful for. We've been given in the Bible examples of those. I mentioned a moment ago, we look at some of these. Examples of those who were not thankful, those who actually forgot God. I want to look at just a few of those before we close. When you look back at Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5, it tells us there that thankfulness is a way or a means of remembering God. Psalm 103 and verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with all good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." When we fail to give thanksgiving to God, then we fail to remember, we fail to acknowledge the countless blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Verse 2 says, "There forget not all His blessings." It's a way we have when we acknowledge Him, when we thank Him, when we express our gratitude. It's a means of remembering these great things that He has done for us. This is what the Israelites were found guilty of, the failure to acknowledge Him, the failure to express their gratitude, which led to their forgetting of God. When you look in Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32. It says, "Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." Look at 3 and verse 21. It says, "A voice who has heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, they have forgotten the Lord their God." Look at 13 and verse 25. It says, "This is your lot, the portion of your measures from me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood." Israel had failed to remember all the great things that God had done for them, going all the way back to the time when they were in Egyptian bondage. Of course, we know that He delivered them out of that. He took care of them while they were in the wilderness. He gave them the law. He gave them the land of Canaan. So many. He had a special relationship with Israel. It was a great nation because of God. And yet they had failed. They turned away from God to idol worship. And it ultimately led here to the statement there that they forgot God. They even forgot the law that God had given them. I submit that time and time again from the time they were led out of Egypt to the time they were taken into captivity, over and over again we saw that pattern where they would fail to express their gratitude toward God, and they would forget God. They would put Him on the back burner, and we see what it led to. Ultimately, it led to their demise. Again, it's certainly a lesson, a hard lesson in the danger of ingratitude. Look at 2 Corinthians 32. Or 2 Chronicles 32, I'm sorry. We have here the example of Hezekiah, who here was healed of a terminal illness and failed to acknowledge or give thanks. 2 Chronicles 32, let's begin in verse 24. It says, In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and he prayed to the Lord, and He spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, he and his inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. again, we see he had a problem with pride. It was pride that got in the way. It was because of his pride that Hezekiah failed to give thanks to God. When you look at just this short passage in this chapter, in verses 20 through 23, we see what God had done for Hezekiah there in delivering him and delivering Jerusalem from the hand of the Assyrians. You see in verse 27 that Hezekiah was blessed with much riches and much honor. Hezekiah was a man who had a lot to be thankful for. But I think when you read this, it becomes obvious that pride got in the way. He had so much to be thankful for, and yet for just a moment, he forgot to acknowledge God. He let pride get in his way. And that's, again, a lesson that we can learn for ourselves. So we need to be careful that we don't get too high of an opinion of ourselves, that we don't think too highly of ourselves. We need not think we can accomplish anything or do anything separate and apart from God. We know that all things are possible because God allows that to be so. God needs and deserves the glory, again, in all matters. We think back again to Ephesians 5:20, in all things. We can't let pride get in the way of glorifying God. When you look in Romans 1, it's a pitfall there that the Gentiles fell into. Romans 1, verse 21. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Pride, it can be the cause that can cause us to fail to give God the thanks, to give God the honor and the glory that is certainly due to Him. And it can cause us to fall deeper and deeper and deeper into sin if we're not very careful. Again, the point being that being thankful helps us keep in perspective just where we stand before God. He's God, we're not. He is the Almighty, and everything we're subject to Him. Without Him, we are nothing. Without God, we would cease to be. We would have no hope of eternal life separate and apart from God. Again, expressing that gratitude brings back that remembrance of what He has done for us, and it keeps in perspective where we stand in the grand scheme of things. We owe God everything. Look at Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and verse 24. It says, God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with man's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all breath and all things. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Again, we owe God everything, even our very existence. And we should never again cease to remember exactly where we would be or what we would be separate and apart from Him. We need to be thankful. We need not to forget God. Back at Psalms chapter 50. Psalm 50 and verse 22 says, now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright I will show the salvation of God. Again, the importance of remembering, the importance of being thankful. I'll close with this, and we'll go through these quickly, but I want to leave you with some examples that we have that show us how we can be thankful to God. Some examples we have given in the Bible of ways to offer our thanks to our Creator. Number one, when you look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, is through prayer. Back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We have examples of that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Again, we're to go to God in prayer, casting our needs, casting our wants and our cares upon Him. But in that, we need to express our thanksgiving. It's one of the ways that we can express thanks to God. We have an example. We have patterns of where that was so in God's Word. So certainly prayer is one way we can express our thanks to God. Number two, we can express our thanks to God in song. Look at Psalm 30 and verse 4. Psalm 30 and verse 4 says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name." And when you look back at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, we can thank God through song. We do that here in any of the songs that we sing. Number three, we can express our thanks to God through the observance of the Lord's Supper. We have those instructions given. Paul made that very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the purpose of why we do this. It's remembrance of that great sacrifice that was offered up by Christ. We remember that sacrifice. And we remember exactly what was done for us, and in that we express our gratitude. We're thankful for that sacrifice. Again, we show our gratitude to God for this wonderful blessing and the hope of eternal life that we have through the observance of the Lord's Supper. And finally, the last thing that we'll mention here this evening, and I'm sure you could think of many more, we show our thanks to God in the way that we live our lives each and every day. In everything that we do, we are to live a life as a living sacrifice to Him. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Verse 17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Look back at Psalm 116 for just a second. I know we looked at this just a moment ago. Psalm 116. Verse 12 says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" Drop down to verse 16. "O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant." Again, we honor God and show our gratitude to Him by being obedient servants, by doing each and everything that He has commanded of us. Let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. "As I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." When we consider all the things that we've mentioned here this evening, when we consider the many things that I'm sure that you could think of, the many ways that God has blessed us, the many things that God has done for us, the only reasonable, the only rational conclusion that we can reach is that we owe God all. And part of that is that we owe God our lives. We owe it to Him to present our bodies, to present our lives as a living sacrifice to God. Living a life that means doing His every will. A life of total submission to Him. And in that, we can express our gratitude. We can express our appreciation by the way that we live. Be thankful. That's the lesson this evening. If you're here tonight and you have never obeyed the gospel, you certainly have an opportunity to do that this evening. You can be thankful again that God has laid out His plan of salvation. He's given that to us in His Word. He says to hear, Romans 10:17, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 8:24, to repent, to be willing to